And I have been trying to tell as many people as I can that I am not all right.
BBC Radio 2, The Zoe Ball Breakfast Show.
In front of me, a chap who's very much become a friend of the show. He's an actor, a presenter, a writer and comedian, and he's here today to talk about his brilliant brand new documentary. It's called Me and the Voice in My Head. It's all about his experience of living with borderline personality disorder. We're so happy he's come back to see us. Good morning, Joe Tracini.
Hi, Zoe.
How are you today?
I'm not dead. How are you?
I know, and I'm really glad you're here. Last time you came to see us, Joe, we were talking about your book.
We was.
10 Things I Hate About Me, which went on to be a Sunday Times bestseller. Congratulations.
That's right. Thank you very much.
I know. And our listeners loved it. We had so many messages in for you.
Oh.
Like Matt from Cambridge, who says, what a fabulous bloke Joe is. He needs to know that he has, without doubt, helped so many people. My hero. This is you being brave enough to talk about some of the experiences that you go through. 585 on the text had said, I also have BPD. I'd never heard anyone describe what it's like in my head most of the time. I'm going to read Joe's book, but thank you so much, Joe. It's made me cry with gratitude to know I'm not alone feeling like this.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
There's pages of them. I'm going to read you one more.
Go on.
Andrea in Staffordshire said, what an unbelievably honest and lovely man. Breaks my heart to hear him speak, but Joe should be so proud of himself for being so strong.
It's nice when people get in touch with me for whatever reason. Borderline personality disorder is the thing that I've got, and it's essentially like giving an eight-year-old a job and a car and saying, good luck. And I have always found it easier to talk about it than keep it quiet. And I do get messages from people that, and the difficult ones are when they are talking about somebody that's not here anymore. And it sounds awful, but it does help me every day when people do get in touch. So thank you for keeping hold of them and reading them to me.
There'll be people listening right now, Joe, who might not have heard our previous chat. Could you explain BPD to those who don't know about it?
Borderline personality disorder is the worst name for what it is, because it's got nothing to do with my personality. People either like me or they don't. It's an emotional disorder. So I feel things wrong, and I either feel too much at the wrong time or not enough. And that makes my life a consistent nightmare. And it's one of those things that it got to a point where I was thinking about taking my own life so much that I knew I had to do something, because there was only one way my life was going. That was about 10 years ago now. Okay. And I have been trying to tell as many people as I can that I am not all right in that time. Because, it's a difficult thing to live with, but I'm getting there.
And you are here, and that makes me really happy. And sometimes, Joe, it doesn't matter how many times people tell you that they love you or that we want you to be here, or the stuff that's happening for you in your head, as for many other people, just doesn't allow that to get through sometimes.
But it means a lot that you're so lovely to me, Zoe, so thank you for, you know, letting me come in.
I think it's important that we talk about these things, Joe, and I really, really appreciate you for having those conversations and bringing it out there into the world. The Zoe Ball Breakfast Show. So the book was brilliant, and now you've made a documentary. Whose idea was the documentary?
I was talking to Channel 4 about doing some sort of thing. I was trying to pitch something about, like, a comedy. And they said, yeah, it's quite a good idea, but nobody knows who you are. So we should probably do something else first. And that's when we started talking about the documentary. And I think that my main thing was, if we're going to do one, I want to try and make it as funny as possible.
Okay.
Because I don't cope very well on days that I can't laugh.
Yeah.
And I am very lucky that Channel 4 have let me tell my story my way, because it means something to me to be able to do it like that. Because there's so many, all mental illness documentaries have got violins and you're talking about the worst moment in your life and all that sort of stuff, which is, you know, that's a thing and it helps people. But for me, that's never helped me, because I don't I'm depressed enough.
Yeah.
I don't need to watch sad things.
Don't need more violins. Thank
Absolutely,
you.
Yes.
So tell us a bit about the documentary. They follow your day-to-day life, but then there's brilliant, very cleverly done bits of you sort of playing out some of your darkest thoughts to sort of show how that is for you inside your head and your experience.
Yeah, I've been doing sketches for the past few years online, which is just me basically playing me and the voice in my head having a conversation. And what I tried to do in the documentary to make it as real as possible is that we filmed for, I think, 3 or 4 months. And obviously, I'm me, so I know that I'm going to struggle in those 3 or 4 months. I didn't know how, but I knew it would be a thing. So by the time we got to the end of what we filmed and shot, when I was feeling a bit better, I went back to wherever I'd panicked or felt awful. And I then wrote what my voice in my head was telling me while I was there, which was difficult, but I feel like it was worth it. It's something that I'm proud of. And yeah, given that I had some bad experiences when I first started talking to people about documentaries, I'm not proud of much, but I am proud of it.
In the documentary, there's some very lovely clips of you as a youngster on stage. Let's have a little listen.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Mr. Joe Tresini.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
The energy there.
Yeah.
Do you know how old you were then?
I think that I was about seven. I think six or seven.
Old. See, yeah. Born to be on the stage, Joe.
Yeah.
It's another little moment.
I went to the hairdresser the other day. The man said to me, do you want your hair cut round the back? And I said, why is there no room in the shop
lift? It's so gorgeous.
I'm leaning on a mic stand in that little bit. I sort of look around the crowd that aren't there.
But it's a natural thing to you to be up there on the stage.
Yeah, that's what I do. So even when I'm not doing what I do, I'm pretending to do the thing that I do. So I think that that's another thing that I sort of didn't necessarily realise until I started to watch the documentary back, is the fact of just how much of my childhood was me trying to do everything that I was trying to do in the documentary. So, yeah, I've essentially spent 30 years trying to do a show that I've done once in the end.
You spoke to your mum and dad
for
the documentary.
Separately.
Separately, yes. OK, you come from a family like mine, many families, modern families, as we say.
Yeah, we are.
It's complicated.
Yeah.
And when you're young, you don't really understand. And years later, when you're an adult yourself, you think, oh, OK, yes, it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy being married or having kids.
Yeah, I don't know if life has always been this bad. I was just too young to care. I don't understand.
I know. It is. How was that experience for you and for them?
I think that I don't come off particularly well all the way through it, purely because I wanted to be honest. And I think, given that we talked to my dad, my mum and my girlfriend, it's quite a good example of what it means to love somebody like me. I was overwhelmed when I first watched it back to some of the stuff that my family had, you know, had said while we were doing it, because it's not an easy thing for them either, of course. And so it's quite a good example of, you know, this is why, because mental illness can break families and people and units and everything. So there are a few bits of the documentary where I genuinely have to put my fingers in my ears and sort of just go, and I will, if I'm watching it through, because I do watch it through, I do put my fingers in the ears and go, la, 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 because I've watched a couple of bits twice and I think that's enough.
Yeah.
Because that's another thing that I got out of it, is being able to speak to my family about stuff we've not chatted about before.
Yeah. The Zoe Ball Breakfast Show. Something interesting I never knew about you, Joe. There's a lot of things I never knew about you. One thing is, you didn't burp until you were
29. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Was this intentionally?
No, I mean, listen, it came out the other end. It wasn't like I was keeping gas in forever. But my ex-girlfriend many years ago couldn't believe that I'd not burped. So she taught me how to wind myself.
What, like a baby?
Yeah, like on my ribs.
Okay. There,
so if I feel a burp coming sort of in my behind my belly button,
right,
then I put my hand in the middle of my ribs and I rub it like that and start tapping. You know how you would wind the back of a baby?
Wind the back of a baby, yeah.
Well, at 36 year old, if I'm out and I need to burp, I wind myself.
Even, do you know what? I'm doing that and I can feel it. It's brewing in there. It's There it is. Can you hear that rumble?
Do you know what I mean?
It was...
Oh. Right? Next time you have some lemonade,
there we go.
Crack on.
Just do it.
Yeah.
I was always disappointed when I had lemonade that I didn't float to the ceiling with my grandpa.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, Roald Dahl. Thanks, Roald Dahl.
The real world is so boring.
Something else that is brilliant. You got down to the final three to play Harry Potter.
Yeah, that was a weird week.
My God.
Yeah. It did. I ended up, obviously, quite a long time ago now. But, yeah, I think I had about 6 auditions over the course of 10 days, the last one being for Chris Columbus, who directed it. And, yeah, it was, you know, it had gone very well, you know, up to that point.
Yeah.
And my family, the sort of my mum and dad's parenting style was expect the worst, always. So after my final audition with Chris Columbus, they took me out and they said, listen, you're not going to get this job. Just so you know, it's not going to happen. You've had a nice time. Let's move on. So I did. And again, that's just a window into, why? Yeah, that's what I'm expecting from life, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly.
But yeah, no, but the casting director phoned about 3 days later to let me know that I didn't get it. She sent me a letter and it was an experience that I've never, ever forgotten.
Oh.
Mainly out of a bitter way. You know, Yeah.
Let's not talk about him. I'm always fascinated by the people who... There's so many people who didn't get roles or didn't take roles that maybe later thought, oh, maybe I should have taken that part.
Yeah, not. Yeah. But also, I strongly believe that how I am now is how I've always... That's always been in there. So, you know, I have a feeling there have been points in my life where being a millionaire would not have helped.
Yes.
So I, you know, for better or for worse, I'm glad I'm here now.
You're glad you're here now.
Yes.
So
yeah, I didn't want to do the films anyway.
When you were talking about such a lie.
Yeah,
but we'll go with that. We also love, Joe, your incredible commentary. Oh. Example A.
Olga Corbett, both legs in the gap, looking for the weatherman's feet. Tiptoes around the panda. It's a good animal to punch. It's already got two black eyes, so it's incredibly hard to prove. Pat Butcher! EastEnders, don't touch the meat man. Quick pickles, pop goes the weasel, gets out of the groove, delicious pesto burp, smells like a bin, full biffer, immaculate fancy hat, into the foam galosh, plays the cards right, Brucey bonus, some qualms, picks up her teeth, takes a chance, I am tearing up on the tram, no fish was a bit of a pig, but Bob's your goblin, Cliff Richard's rude.
You can really feel the length when you're not watching it. Wow.
Thanks
for playing that in full.
A visual thing. I know it's painful, isn't it? I know I don't like hearing my own voice.
No, it's nice that it's nice that you liked it. You want to listen to it again. That's lovely.
It's so funny. I mean, we've got the Olympics coming up.
Yes.
I mean, you can commentate on anything.
Yeah.
Will we have some more treats?
Yes, we will at some point. I'll try and drag myself out of my bed and I will do more because I do enjoy it when I can.
And you are so, so brilliantly funny.
Thanks,
Zoe. On a day when you're a bit, it's like, let's listen to a bit of Joe and his commentary. Joe, thank you so much for coming to talk about your documentary. And before we go, we played this out. This was you at the pantomime, and we played it out in January.
Which nobody asked you to do, that you just did that one morning and it made my day. So
and it had such a huge response, and we're just going to play it now.
When I first started telling tales, I realised that people only tell stories at bedtime, but I think that's a waste. You should tell stories in the morning just in case you need a bit of help getting up. Because a long time ago, I didn't feel like I was enough. You know, people told me that I didn't belong at home, and that made me feel even worse. Some days, I didn't even get out of bed. It was like getting up with some sort of curse. But I was comparing me to the rest of the world, and that's massive. Like, really big. Doesn't matter how much good I give. I'm always going to be smaller than Earth. Look, I am going to tell you all a secret. But once I've told you, that is that. You'll never see life the same again, and you can never get life back. So, all our hearts are good and bad, and they keep fighting every day. That's the beat we feel inside. One wins, one goes away. We hope that it's the good that wins, but sometimes it's the bad. Either way, each day starts again, another go is had. When waking up doesn't feel worth it, somebody somewhere always cares. We can all add good to someone's world just by being there. All the things that make life special, all the colours, sounds and tastes, they'd all lose a touch of magic if your goodness went to waste. Hope is more than wishful thinking, but it's less than certain sights. Hope is knowing behind darkness, life is always hiding lights. Hope is never a decision. You don't choose the hope you lose, but if you're here, you're never hopeless, because hope beats the hearts we use. All anybody wants is to be seen and loved and heard. Before you go, I hope you know, true love is something you deserve. Good night until tomorrow. And never forget what I have said, that someone's world always gets brighter because you get out of bed. Thank you so much. Good night.
Joe, thank you so much.
I know I've not seen you for 2 years, but you genuinely, on bad days, I think of how much you've helped me, and it does get me through quite a lot, Zoe. So thank you for being somebody that helps me, even if I can't see you.
Oh, bless you, Joe. And thank you for reminding everybody that we are all loved, and you're loved, Joe.
BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.